The disciples were all standing around. It had come to the point where Jesus was just so frustrated with the disciples. After he had told those people, you know, basically he cursed them. You're never going to have a miracle here. You're never going to have a sign or wonder for generations. You're a deplorable generation. He's headed to the boat, and he can hear the guys grumbling. They get into the boat, and he says, "Be careful of the leaven in the Pharisees and Herod. Be careful of their double talking, their sneakiness, their rottenness, their evil. Be careful." But they're still, they went, "Why do you think he said that? Does he know that we forgot to get some bread?" And because they had one loaf of bread. So he said, "What are you grumbling about now?" And they said, "Well, we only have one loaf of bread." And he said, "Oh, when are you guys going to get it? Is your hearts hardened toward the bread?" That was the second time he said it to him. "Is your heart?" He said it a third time. He said it when he came into the upper room, and he said, "Why was your heart hardened to the people I sent to you to tell you I was alive? Why was your heart hardened?" And you know what? We need to think about that word. We need to understand. It's like, this is really hard for pastors, as we do the work, and we do the work, and we do the work, right? And then our family is struggling. But do we turn and we do the work for our family? We almost feel crippled. Because why? Our hearts have been hardened. Our hearts have been dulled. Their hearts were hardened and their hearts were dull because they didn't think, well, if he can feed 5,000 to 4,000, can he give us more bread? It's a simple thing. His arm is not short. Amen? But they didn't have the faith for themselves. Do you have the faith for yourself? Probably not. You have the faith to believe for her and for her, for him and for whoever. But when it comes to us, are we willing to just stand before God and repent and say, "Lord, I need help. I need it now. I have been suffering. Lord, you can remove this with a snap of a finger." Amen? Amen? Do you see why I'm talking about we need to spin the chair? That whole thing with the blind man, because they already healed blind people and deaf people and dumb people. But what that was about was, guys, you need clarity. You need a second touch. You need for me to touch you again. You need to go up a level. You need to have more compassion. You need to walk in more mercy toward yourself. Amen? Do you see what I'm saying? I challenge you to go to Mark and read the book of Mark. Amen? My favorite place in Mark is, what is it, Bartimaeus? And I just loved the story there of a man that had so much faith that he heard there was three blind men, they said, when Jesus went into Jericho. He was the one out there waiting. By faith, that was his first step. He believed that Jesus had something for him. And he was sitting out there letting that faith and that trust start building. And out come the men and the entourage. And he goes, "Who is that? Who is that?" And they said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." And he goes, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he goes, no sound. Pretty soon, the disciples come to him, and they go, "Shh. He's busy. He's doing the Father's business. Leave him alone." He ignored him. He said it again. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know, God's not going to deny you when you say, "Have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped. And it says he turned around. He said, "Bring that man to me." And I just get so irritated at this part. Because they're like, "The teacher wants to talk to you. This is your lucky day." My team knows better than to ever do something like that to me. Everybody's important. Everybody is valuable. Amen? Everybody. Don't be choosy about who you're going to deal with. I just remember, you know, that the Lord said, that could be your son, that could be your daughter, that could be your father that's over there puking over the side of the bank there and they're an alcoholic. That could be your dad. Would you want somebody to go look at that scumbag? Would you want them to say that about your father, even though he is a scumbag? You don't want nobody to say anything about it. You want somebody to go and grab him and pray for him. Amen? Take him home, bathe him, feed him, help him, show they care. Amen? We can't give up. We cannot give up. Amen? But anyway, here's Bartimaeus begging for help. And Jesus, they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus says, "What do I have to do with you? What do I have to do with you?" And I'll have people come up, and I mean, it's like, they're not being genuine with me. They come up there, and they go, "I want to know what God has to say for me." No, come up here and tell me what you need. What do you need? Come and tell me what you need so I can agree in prayer with you. Amen? If he gives me a word of prophecy or some insight, I'll share it with you. But when you come up here, you have a need. I don't want to tickle your ears. Amen? You can see one of my tick-offs here. But anyway, so when he says, "What do I have to do with you?" Bartimaeus didn't go, "Well, whatever God tells you, tell me." He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He said, "I want to see. You come up here and you want me to pray for you? You say that to me, and I'm going to grab you and hug you. I want to see, because I'll tell you what, I don't have understanding." Amen? And so he says, "I want to see." And Jesus says, "Because of your faith, you're made well." Praise the Lord. Amen. He's made well. And when he sees, you know what he did? Listen, if you have an experience with God and you turn around and go home and business as usual, I'm wondering what the heck is going on. Because when God intervenes and he helps us, guess what? We need to pay it forward. Amen? We need to take care of business for God because he's real and he's busy. And you know what? He uses you. He'll say, "Come on, I'm going to use you. Now you go pay it forward. Go pray for somebody else." Amen? Go lift up somebody. Go encourage somebody. What does it say in Isaiah 66? And if you know me, you know this too. Is that he says, "Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. And have I not created all the heavens, all the universe and this earth and all of you? Have I not just waved my hand and it was created?" He said, "But the one thing that I cannot do is build me a place of rest." Because what he's looking for is not something that's made by man's hands. He wants a heart. He wants a dwelling place that he can live and be and do all things through you. Amen? But we put all these limits up. "I can't do this. I don't feel like I could do that. I can't go there." And if you just stop saying that and quit using your age, your level of education, you know, your sex, whatever those excuses are, God chose you. Amen? If he can choose a donkey, Okay? Amen? If he can use me, I'll tell you what, he can use you. That's all I can say. He can use you. And he says, that person that I'm looking for, her heart is contrite. Do you know who else's heart was contrite? Jesus. He went to the cross totally contrite. Nothing. Laid low. David learned to have a contrite heart laid low. I want a contrite heart. It doesn't matter what you ask me to do, Lord. I just know that if you ask me to do it, you'll give me the provision. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. And then he says, and this is one I know a lot of you don't do today, but he says, "And the one that trembles at my word." Trembles at my word. I'm trembling about Mark. Can you tell? I mean, he's giving us a vision. He's telling us, "Look, start spinning the chairs around you and watch what I can do through you." Amen? I tremble at that. I tremble at the power that's in me, if I just let him have his way. Amen? I just want him to have his way. I don't want to be in the way. Amen? Every time I speak, every time I do something, I just say, "Lord, less of me and more of you. If I did anything to come between us, please forgive me. Just please use me. I don't want one person to leave here without getting something, that they'll go out that door and they have a nugget that they can work on, that can grow, a seed." Amen? Amen. Okay. This next part is a fun part. I'm going to point at you and I'm going to have you come up here. Okay? Will you be my volunteer as I point at you? You are going to be one of my volunteers. Come here. Amen? How about you, a volunteer? Come on up here. I'm going to have you be a volunteer. And I think I need one more. I'm leaving the men out of this time. Okay? You. Come on. Okay. These poor, unsuspecting volunteers. Okay, just line up there, all four of you. See if I agree the way you line up. Where'd she go? Did you not think I chose you? That's okay. So I think you're going to be number one, okay? I think you'll be number two. And I think that I think I'll just try it. You guys lined up. This is the way it's going to be. Okay. So I'm going to tell you that number one has got a role because Pagan is going to be coming into her neighborhood. Okay. Her name is Pagan, and she'll probably tell you that she has another name that goes with it, so who knows what she's going to show us today. But anyway, you're going to be number one, and number one, your business is, when you see her, you're all about acts of kindness. Just remember this in the back of your mind, kindness leads to repentance, okay? And so you can't say anything about God, you can't use scripture. But what you're going to do is make her so welcome, maybe have her over to for lunch or send your son to mow her lawn. You come up with something creative for when she comes on the scene. And by the way, she's party hardy, and you're going to have to figure her out. She's very, very secular, okay? You are going to be the seeder. And what you're going to do is drop one seed into her after she meets her. I don't know what the time frame will be, but you're going to meet her, know that she's new in the neighborhood, and you're going to drop a seed in her that makes her think maybe there is a God. That's your job, okay? Your job is going to be the cultivator, the waterer. So when she comes to you, you get to say scripture. You can talk about God all you want because her ground has been broken it's been softened up. She got to drop a seed, but that seed can't grow because it's still pretty tight, and you're going to just cultivate and water her with the word. Amen? So whatever it is, you can tell her that, maybe invite her to church, say that, you know, what she can get there, and anyway, you're on your own. Now, you got the biggie. You're the harvester, okay? And what you are is you're going to be at the 70th floor in a hotel. And she gets in that elevator with you, and by the time she gets to the bottom floor, she's going to be on her knees asking for Jesus into her heart because you're a true harvester, and she's going to get the message. Amen? And she's not even going to want to wait to go to church with her. Okay? She wants Jesus now. Amen? And I will be telling you when you hit the different floors. You start at 70, I'm going to say 65, 55. Amen? So here she comes. She's just moving into your neighborhood.
I am, and I thought I was going to get out of this skit. Hi, my name's Peggy Ann.
Nice to meet you, Peggy Ann. I'm Norma.
You can call me Peggy.
Okay.
Peggy Ann, short. Yeah, I just moved into this neighborhood.
Oh, wow. I'm so glad you're in the neighborhood. What do you like to do for fun?
Oh, yeah, I can karaoke. Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know. I sing the same. You do?
Yeah.
Do you like to karaoke?
I do.
You like to party?
Well, not really party, but I like to sing songs.
Well, okay. I mean, I'll make the party happen then. Let's karaoke.
All right.
All right. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Norma, and she's coming to my party, so... And we're going to karaoke.
Hey, I'd love to do karaoke, too.
You sing?
Yeah.
Awesome! Party?
Yeah!
And we have you.
See you later.
See you later.
Awesome.
You know what? I'm going to think about that. And maybe you guys could go to my party. And
you know what? We're all be there.
Okay. So, it's not weird or anything, right?
Nope.
Okay.
Not at all.
I'll think about it. Definitely said, because you guys, I don't know how you're related, but you definitely have to say
Seventy floor. 25. Amen. Floor one. Thank you.
Nancy, what? Look, you're never going to believe what happened to me.
Hey, you know, Pagan. Right?
Yes.
You've been drinking. What's going on with you?
Well,
You're really talking weird. What's going on?
No.
You're different.
I am different.
What's
I am
happened? You wear clean clothes.
I was clean before. I'm different on the inside, and I know you're not going to believe this. I don't even believe it. I didn't know that I was a sinner. I'm sure you did. I'm sure it makes perfect sense now. I'm sure you get it, but I just got what they call saved. And I didn't even go to church.
You got saved?
Do you know what that means?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm not really sure what it means, but
I'll tell you what.
I feel good.
Well, you know what?
I feel good.
Okay. Oh, happy days is right. Amen. I rest my case. I want you to think about it. If I'd had the four men up here, it would have been really fun to watch them do that. They're going to get it next time. But ladies, thank you for doing that. I know that was putting you on the spot, but you did really well. You did very well. Don't cry. You did very well. In Jesus' name, amen. We need to get prepared. If you tell me you're prepared and you can't do something like that, there's something wrong. You should be so excited about what is in you, and you want to share it. Amen? Just like Sarah did right there at the end. I mean, she went back to her real name instead of being Pagan, and she's not a pagan anymore. Amen? But I tell you all that because I'm going to leave, and I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear what's going on. I want to hear that there's new salvations in the church. And oh my gosh, if you got a good children's program, you watch your children. We watch your church grow. Amen? The Lord wants you to open the doors to his children. Suffer not the little children and watch your church multiply. Amen? Where are the children? And you older ones, don't give me this. I did my nursery duty. I'll tell you what, those young ones, they're with them all day long. They need a break. And if they know that they're going to get a break at church and their children are going to be taught, they're just wide open for it, you guys. It's white. The harvest is white. And I'm asking, the Lord says, pray to the Lord of the harvest for the workers to come in. And that's what I've been doing this weekend is, will you be a worker for the kingdom of God? Amen? And it can be fun. It can be fun. There's a lot of pagans out there that just want to be treated kind. Amen? And it leads to repentance. And it saves souls. In Jesus' name, I love you guys. Thank you for coming, and keep us in prayer. And did you guys get the pictures? Did anybody get any pictures of us so that you can remember us at home? Pray for us. Anyway, I think they're up there somewhere. Are they up there, Sarah? They're over there. Grab a picture so that you have us in your home, or part of your family, and you be praying for us because it makes a difference. Amen. Sometimes we get calls out and we send emergency 911s out where we might be in we're being warned that we're in a tough situation. And I'll tell you, God is good and he's good all the time. Something that I want to encourage you not to do is you may get a warning, but don't send me the warning. Send it to my husband. And anybody want to send a warning to my husband if they know I'm on a trip, just ask me his phone number. And I'll give it to you because he will make sure if I'm supposed to know it, and he'll get it to me. Amen? If I'm not supposed to know it, it's a distraction. He will pray with you and say, this is a distraction. Let's just pray her through. Now, we were, Lisa alluded to it just a little bit about where we were at when Hurricane Irma was down heading to Florida, and we were in Atlanta. We were actually in Beaufort. We were getting ready to do a meeting. And that whole week, there was just all kinds of things going on with the lack of gas, because all the little gas stations, they have an allotment, and people were stockpiling gas because they didn't know if we were going to run out of gas. So if you went to one of the bigger gas stations, the truck stops, they had plenty of gas. We weren't, that never was a problem. But there were a lot of things going on, and you know, Category 4, Category 5, Category 3, whatever. Anyway, we had been to all those countries. We had been to Israel. We came back. We were in our seventh week, of ministry in Georgia and South Carolina. I was ready to go home. Believe me, any excuse would have been inviting to go home, but we were committed to stay the course. And why would God take us through all of that and then turn it to garbage at the end? He wasn't going to do that. And so we were hanging tight and hanging tight, right down to just before the hurricane changed. It was still at a Category 4, and it was targeted for Atlanta. We were just outside of Atlanta. Our hotel room the night before was in Atlanta. But that afternoon, we're on the phone. We're finding out, you know, what our options were. If things changed, if it got ugly, we were just going to get in that rent a car and head to Cincinnati, you know, just outrun it. But I didn't think that's what we needed to do. But we had the lady on the phone. She says, well, do you ladies want to book a new flight, cancel this one? And Sarah and I were like, it just didn't even feel good. It didn't even feel right. Pretty soon I said, tell her no, we're not. We're going to stay the course. We're going to stay the course. And so the reason I tell you this is because God had some really different plans. And so we went on over to Levels. We'd spoken the church that morning. My husband even sent a text and said, tell Nancy now. That meant get out of there now. But he had just gone into services, and I was just coming out of service praying for people, so they didn't tell me the message. Finally, Level came over to me, and I just heard the message, and he said, are you going to stay tonight? We'll be open tonight. If you're going to stay, if you want to go, we would understand it. I said, no, we're going to stay. We're going to stay. It's going to be okay. Because I sensed by watching the weather that it was starting to shift. It was starting to shift. And once it gets to landfall, the categories do start dropping. And so I was trusting God in that. And so we went in and did that meeting that night. It was a glorious meeting. It was like, I never laughed so much in my life. I mean, it was such freedom because we made the right choice to finish the course. So then the next morning we go to the airport, and pretty much what's happening at the Atlanta airport is that people are not showing up for work. Transit to get to the airport is shutting down because the rain started, and they didn't want people to be stuck at the airport, not be able to get them out. Got into the airport. I'm talking to people, and they're saying they're going to be stuck there for maybe 3 or 4 days. They're going to live at the airport. Because, you know, they need people, because there's people in the airport that are stranded and they're going to have to help them. Most of the stores, most of the food places were shut down. And Sarah and I were looking for somewhere to get something to eat. We were hungry. And we came to this place that goes up these stairs, and there was a gal down at the bottom. And we talked to her, and I said, are you going, like I talked to everybody else and just encouraged and prayed with them. I said, well, are you going to be able to get out of here, or are you going to be one that gets to get out of here? And she goes, well, they're working on it right now. And, you know, she just was really, really sweet. So we go up and we get sat down at a table to eat. And it's one of the only restaurants that's still open in the airport. And she comes through, and I said, have you found out? Do you get to go home? And she said, no, they haven't told me yet. And I said, well, is everything okay? And she says, well, I've got family down there. I have a mom and a dad and a sister. A sister just had a baby a week ago. Their house got leveled. They're living in the car. I went, what? And I said, well, what are you guys doing about it? And she said, well, until their batteries run out, they're taking turns with the phones in the car, the cell phones, you know, they're just hoping somebody's going to come. They've called and asked for, you know, rescue to come, but there's just so many that need to be rescued. I said, do they know they got a week-old baby in that car that's not going to make it? And that she said, well, we haven't done anything. I said, you go somewhere and call every friend that you have. Tell them what's going on. Tell them to go to call down there and tell them where they're at. And they'll get a helicopter in there to get them out of there. This baby's in danger. The baby's a week old. Mommy's not going to be able to keep producing milk. And so she goes off. And then she comes back, and Sarah goes, we're gonna pray for you. We're just going to pray for you. And so she just stands there, and the next thing you know, Sarah starts praying. I look up. There's three or four more of the employees there, right there. And as soon as Sarah finished it, there were seven of us by the time we were done. In this restaurant, everybody's watching. Everybody's, like, pointing their hand toward us. And when we're done, they all go, amen, and go. Sarah didn't even know how many were there. So meanwhile, she walks off, and, you know, she told us her goal was to try to get her family up there. She has an apartment up there. She says, I'm trying to get them up here. And so Sarah and I dug all of our money together, and I went and found her again, and I just gave her an envelope full of money. And I said, here, this is to get your family up here, anything you can help, whatever you got to do for your family. Well, the next thing I know, she's wandering around just sobbing her little heart out that somebody would be so nice, but she was so encouraged, she started getting phone calls. Somebody's on their way to go get her family. Amen? It worked. People start calling. Yes, we're going to take care of it. Yes, the squeaky wheel gets the oil is what I told her. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. Amen? Remember that no matter what. And then, I mean, it was like they moved us to three different planes, right? They finally upgrade us to first class. And they call us and they give us these coupons to eat, $15 each, but you got to use them there before midnight, right? Anyway, they said, you're going to be in first class, and we're not going to be able to get food on there as soon as something opens. See, what the problem was is people that were coming from, like, Minnesota or Minneapolis or whatever, nobody wanted to go to Atlanta, so they only had, like, maybe 20 people on a plane. They didn't have the weight in the plane. They didn't have the luggage in the plane, the people in the plane. They couldn't land in Atlanta. The winds were too much. They didn't have enough wet wind in the plane or weight in the plane. So they just kept collecting us, right? Meanwhile, all these planes are trying to get out there, going in different directions. They're all lined up all the way on the runway, right? And then all of a sudden they go, well, we got on another plane and sent everybody to this other plane. We load up, we go out, we pass all the people on the runway waiting their turn out there on, you know, right up beside the runway, you know, how they line up. And our plane just drives right past him, goes all the way up to the front of the line. He never stopped. He went like that and just and put it in gear. And we were out of there. The first ones out of there. Amen? That is God's favor. That's God. There was other people, you know, there was a couple of men. They were all shook up, and they were running their store. And I went, look, you're going to be okay. I'm telling you, the worst it's going to be is you're going to lose your power. I said, because that category hurricane is not going to mess with Atlanta at all. I just told them all, you're going to have some rain. That's it. You might lose a little bit of power because of a little bit of wind, but it was mostly the rain that put their power out. But it was just for a little bit. See, God had a plan right to the finish. He continued to just squeeze whatever Sarah and I had left out to whoever was around there, just encouraging and blessing them. And, you know, we'll just see what happens, you know, with those lives. And that new baby born, who knows the testimony that baby may have down the road? It might be a future female Billy Graham. Amen? Father, I just want to lift up this group to you, Lord God. Thank you that they were here tonight. Thank you for their faithfulness this week when they could come. And Lord, we just ask that they go with it, just burning within their hearts, soul winner, soul winner, soul winner. That not one be lost. That is your heart, God, and that's what we want our heart to be. Thank you for giving us different views about Mark. But let them find more. They're going to come back and tell me more and more and more. And Lord, we're not going to let our hearts be hardened toward anything. We believe that there's nothing impossible to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a safe trip home. Amen.